That's why I'm working so hard to make sure I deal with those problems, that we're going to make sure that we reduce the price of housing. We're going to make sure we build two million new units. We're going to make sure we cap rents so corporate greed can't take over. The combination, what I was left with in corporate greed, is the reason why we're in this problem right now.
The only jobs he created are for illegal immigrants and bounce back jobs, a bounce back from the COVID. He has not done a good job. He's done a poor job, and inflation's killing our country. It is absolutely killing us.
Those, of course, are highlights or lowlights, whatever, of the presidential debate last night. A flash poll conducted by CNN following the debate showed that President Trump defeated President Biden 67% to 33%. Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic and former executive director of the Michigan Republican Party, joins us now for his reaction. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
I don't even know where to begin. I guess, is it what you thought?
It's worse than I thought. I mean, it was catastrophic, and it was catastrophic from the very beginning. You know, I was somewhat surprised that everybody just agreed to the terms of the debate and that Trump agreed to CNN. But in retrospect, I'm surprised that Biden's staff let this be scheduled at 9 p.m., which was clearly well past his bedtime.
I'm looking at this debate last night, and I'm just like shaking my head. I'm cringing, and I'm saying, what do you think our allies and our enemies are thinking while looking at this debate?
I thought the same this morning, Lloyd, as I was reading coverage of the debate and thinking, if you're Vladimir Putin or, you know, any of the other geopolitical opponents that we have, are you scared of this guy? I think, you know, what we saw last night is somebody that is not in command of himself. And I you know, very halting just in his thinking, not just his speaking. And I think we projected weakness. I thought, you know, 2 weeks ago when he was at the G7, he looked, you know, feeble there. I thought in the Hollywood fundraiser that they had afterwards, where former President Obama had to escort him off the stage, you know, he just didn't look physically up to the task. And, you know, last night we saw that intellectually he's not up to the task. So I don't know how Democrats keep him as the standard bearer. I mean, this is control of the presidency, control of the House, control of the Senate, and possibly two appointments to the Supreme Court. I just don't see the Democrats risking all of that for him.
Okay, so they don't risk it. I want you to, this is a tall order, Jason. I want you to think like a Democrat. If you were within the party apparatus, what levers can you pull to change course here? I mean, can they open up the convention? And who would you go to be your standard bearer now that your standard bearer has stumbled?
Well, first of all, their rules do allow for it. And it's not terribly complicated. If a majority of the delegates, you know, go to an open floor fight, that can happen. And I, you know, even though the delegates, I think there's some 4,000 of them, are largely, you know, Biden supporters, they are not bound to that. And I just don't think if you go into the convention in late August and he's trailing by, you know, single digits or double digits, that you don't take action. And I don't think things are going to get better. I mean, the Republican convention concludes an entire month before the Democratic convention. And you have to assume that Trump's going to get a bounce out of the Republican convention that just increases whatever support he's going to have after this. I think things can only get worse from here. I've always thought that this would happen. I've, you know, on the record said it many times that there's no way they're going to risk all of this power for this man. And I do think that ultimately they will probably turn to Gretchen Whitmer. Some people speculate, you know, people like Gavin Newsom. I just don't think that the progressive agenda that he's been able to implement in California sells nationally. I don't see it selling in Michigan or in Pennsylvania or in Georgia or in Arizona. And, you know, I think when you look at Gretchen Whitmer's record, whether you like her or not, when she got elected in 2018, Michigan was a solidly red state. And within 4 years, it is now solidly blue. That is not because of anything she did. Frankly, Republicans, you know, we did this to ourselves. But, you know, she got a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and rammed through a very liberal legislative agenda. And so she now has something to campaign on. And I think being a Midwestern governor, being a woman, that she has ability, I think, to market to some of these swing states that someone like a Gavin Newsom or a Kamala Harris don't.
Wow. I mean, that's news. You've been right before, Jason, as you said. So say it is Gretchen Whitmer. Are the Republicans nervous? Would the Trump campaign be fearful of that?
I think they should be fearful of any change because, I've long felt that Biden is the only candidate that Trump can beat. I mean, when you look at last night's debate, we're focused on how bad Biden did. Now, you know, we have to acknowledge that Trump showed more restraint and I thought maturity than we've ever seen him on a debate stage. But there was still plenty of word salads that were hard to decipher. If you were reading them in print, you wouldn't know what the point was. If you put anyone else up there, we would be talking about Trump's bad performance. And so, you know, it's basically when you have binary choices, which we do right now, Trump looks like the better choice. But if you had even a Gavin Newsom up there or a Pete Buttigieg or a Kamala Harris, you know, he maybe doesn't look quite as good as he did standing up there next to Joe Biden.
Jason, from a debate perspective, you know, when you watched it, was there anything that you know, substantive that stood out to you?
Substandard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Substantive.
Okay. Not really. It was shots back and forth. It devolved pretty quickly in personal attacks from both of them. I mean, you know, if we were showed this debate 10 years ago, we wouldn't believe that it would be happening in the United States of America in the 21st century. It's pretty surreal that is where we are in American politics today. So, you know, very much lacking in substance. And frankly, both of them, even when trying to make substantive points, you know, stumbled over their own words. And so, nothing really came through as a clear accomplishment or policy prescription from either candidate.
There are moments that historically are milestones that we remember. Lloyd Bentsen saying to Dan Quayle, "You're no Kennedy." Ronald Reagan, "There you go again." Will the takeaway last night be the silence as Joe Biden lost his way, or will it be the Gulf Wars?
Well, I think there's a couple. I mean, for me personally, I thought when Trump said, "I have no idea what he just said," and I don't think he does either.
That was a moment.
that one, I think, kind of crystallized the night. And I also think having a former president who very possibly could be the next president saying on a debate, "I never slept with a porn star," is a pretty extraordinary statement as well.
I would think that the Christians and everyone cringed at that point, but we don't have much time left. But I know some people are really angry with the Democratic Party for letting it get to this point.
Well, I would say you got to be angry with Joe Biden. I mean, and you got to be angry with Jill Biden. I mean, all media
Thank
reports
you.
Are that she is the one, you know, that is the key to this. But the idea that he and she are, you know, would be unaware of how bad his mental faculties are at this point in his life, and I've said this on your show before, in 2020, he had the luxury of campaigning from his basement. He didn't have to go run a full-scale presidential campaign. Now he has to do that, and he has to be president, and he's 4 years older. And these are two very big jobs, even for someone much younger. And he's just clearly not up to it. So, yeah, Democratic leaders have certainly been grumbling. We've talked about that in the past. Now it's reached a critical phase. I also think that for some folks within the Democratic Party, the early debate was by design so that it gave them time to, one, check and see if he's capable, and two, replace him if he's not.
Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic and former executive director of the Michigan Republican Party. Thank you for your time today, and we'll wait and see if you are right once again.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.